Welcome to the Brooks Rehabilitation Podcast. My name is Tracy Davis.
My name is Michelle Arallo. And this week we spoke with Drs. Sarah Leahy and Nada Salvatore about the Brooks Concussion Program.
It was a very informative discussion. I learned a lot more about concussions in general and exactly how unique the Brooks Concussion Program is. Make sure you visit us online at brooksrehab.org and follow us on social media at Brooks Rehab on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, pretty much any social media platform. Just search for at Brooks Rehab and connect with us.
We'd like to hear from you. Just email us at podcast@brooksrehab.org.
So let's just jump right into it.
So my name is Nada Salvatore. I'm a physical therapist here at Brooks, and I'm also the outpatient orthopedic coordinator. And under that hat that I wear here is one of the things that I work on. The concussion program kind of came alive a couple of years ago now.
I'm Sarah Leahy, and I am a clinical neuropsychologist that works both in the hospital and in the outpatient setting, and I see all of our outpatient concussion patients. I also am the neuropsychology consultant for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So, Nada, what brought you to Brooks? Why did you choose to come and work here?
So I've been at Brooks now about 9 years. I came from Virginia right after I finished my doctor of physical therapy. And at that time, I learned about residencies and fellowships. So I was looking all over the country to try to figure out where I would do my post-professional training. And it was in between here and Kaiser in California. And once I heard a little bit more about the program and came on a visit actually on site and saw everything that Brooks had to offer, I decided that that's the place I wanted to be because I wanted to get that additional training. And Brooks has an amazing program with a lot of different disciplines, and I'm really happy that I did it.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
In Virginia Commonwealth University, Richmond, Virginia.
That's great.
Yeah.
And what brought you to Brooks, Sarah?
Let's see. After a long road of long distance with my husband, who is a Jacksonville native, believe it or not, there are few and far between here. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Me too.
That is very rare.
Oh, my goodness.
Doug is too, actually.
Whoa. Yeah. Thanks for proving me completely wrong.
No, that's the people that we know, but it is very rare. You're right.
I swear I'm credible. So after doing long distance with completing my residency up at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, and then my fellowship at Emory in Atlanta, finally lived under one roof with my husband, and I've been here at Brooks for about 6 years. And I love rehab. I love the rehab setting. I love seeing people get better and stronger and get back to their activities. And I love working with other disciplines and learning from them and the different perspectives that we have on patient care and conceptualization. It's really been eye-opening and a wonderful kind of symbiotic relationship with all the other disciplines here. And Brooks is a great organization as far as community involvement as well, and I like to be active in the community.
What experience, like what was your experience before Brooks? Was it a completely different setting? It wasn't rehab?
It was rehab, but it was primarily an academic medical institution. Okay. So it's different. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different hoops to jump through and different, you know, in any setting there's politics and certainly in the academic setting it's different pressures and different mm-hmm. pulls as far as your workload goes. So it's really different than working for a nonprofit, and I think working for a nonprofit is really in line with my values and you know, my mission as a human being on this earth, and so it seems like a good fit.
I agree. It makes a huge difference to be able to just focus on your patient care and not having to worry about other things that come with working for different places out
right,
there.
Right, right. You went to school to treat patients.
Right,
so that's what
right.
you want to do. Right, right.
So how did the concussion program come about?
So I would say around 2015 or so, in the clinic, I started seeing some of these patients come through with this diagnosis. And at that time, I have not seen anybody before. And I thought it was a little odd. I was like, well, that's different. And I thought every once in a while, you see one of those one-off diagnosis kind of patients, you know, like look it up what you need and right. treat them. And then you probably won't see one again in 10 years. So I thought maybe that's what was happening. But then they just kept coming and coming and coming. And I was like, okay, we need to do some good research and learn as much as I can to really take good care of these patients. And I learned from my patients that they were really having to go all over the place to piece together their care. And because this is a multidisciplinary or interdisciplinary situation when it comes to the diagnosis, they were having to take time off and travel out of state or go to different, coordinate different appointments. And it was really difficult on the family and the patients to be able to coordinate all of that. So I started reaching out to people inside of Brooks that have treated these patients in the past. And I found out that we actually had all these amazing clinicians within our system that have had the experience and were ready to get together and help. So we put together a group of people, we sat down in a room several times in a row and start working on what the structure of the program will look like, who are the patients that we're going to be treating, what the name of the program was going to be, and all kind of logistics to make sure that we could put this together. And then here we are 2.5 years later, mm-hmm. 3 years later.
So. There's a lot of history and culture tied in with that. And when you start to challenge it, you can get some pushback.
Right.
But it's a starting place. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the outcomes of some pretty fantastic studies that are underway with several different institutions and several that the NFL is supporting too as well.
So can you kind of explain a little more about that, the multidisciplines that's involved in the concussion program? Because I got to know more of it whenever I started working on the video with you guys. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I really thought they just come in to a physical therapist, really. That's how ignorant I was to it. So it'd be great to hear more about it. Go ahead.
Because concussions often have symptom presentations that fall into many different categories. So often you'll see some changes with thinking, such as paying attention or remembering, emotional changes, so mood lability where your mood is going up and down or just really not experiencing any emotions at all, some physical changes with maybe balance and coordination, headaches, neck pain, sleep changes. And all of these factors play a role in how the individual is functioning in their day-to-day life. So because concussion symptoms fall into all these different categories, it makes sense that best practices recommend that there are multiple different disciplines involved in the, not only just the diagnostics, but most importantly, the care and the management of these patients. And so Brooks, like in many other areas, follows best practices and really strives to be an excellent care provider in this way. And so we have many disciplines involved in our concussion program so that we're not only individually treating these different symptoms, but also working as a team and approaching the patient as a whole person so as to come up with a coordinated care plan that not only targets these individual symptoms, but also the patient as a whole, and then how that patient as a whole is operating within the different domains of their life, whether it's work, school, social life, significant others, et cetera. So with the program as it stands, we have neuropsychology involved, we have a physiatrist involved, we have different physical therapists that specialize in different areas, whether it's vestibular or more kind of exertional or manual therapy. We have occupational therapists, speech and language pathologists, a school reentry coordinator that works with our students that come to the program where they help advocate and coordinate on the academic learning piece. Mm-hmm. And then we have a driving specialist that can do driving evaluations to make sure that they're safe to get back out on the road. And we also have optometry and vision services that work with the patients as often there's some visual disturbances. So we all work together as a team and to treat these patients.
Yeah, that's a lot of parts. And then like you were saying about how Brooks can offer one-stop shop for all of these things and these patients aren't having to jump around to different organizations.
It is, to be honest, so I attend conferences related to concussion and we are very aware of all the programs out there in the country and I don't think there's anybody that has such a comprehensive list of services to offer, such as the one we have. So,
like even down to the school reentry, people don't realize how right. vital that is for mm-hmm. you know, someone trying to get back into school and reintegrate back into that. It's not necessarily an easy thing.
Absolutely.
You're not just out sick one day and then you know you get better and you come back.
Right.
So what is a concussion?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be like the full clinical definition, because it's come into to everyone's mind like in the past few years with the Will Smith movie and then, you know, the whole thing with the NFL and all that. Yeah, so it's like that's when it started coming back to me of like realizing not just out of the sports world, but how big, you know, concussions is. It's a bigger deal than people think. Yeah. It's not like I got hit and I had a concussion and you kind of play it off. But there's so much more to it.
Yeah. So the actual diagnosis of concussion, depending on the resource that you're referring to review the diagnostic criteria, but in general, the general consensus is that a concussion is on the spectrum of a traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
So when we take a step back and think about traumatic brain injuries, they're classified as mild, moderate, and then severe. Concussion falls in the category of a mild traumatic brain injury, in that there's often not a loss of consciousness. And in fact, a lot of people think that there needs to be a loss of consciousness in order for there to be a diagnosis of concussion, and that in fact is not true. I think only about 10 to 14% of actual diagnosed concussions result in a loss of consciousness. And then taking a step back, there needs to be some sort of altered mental status. So there needs to be some change in functioning to indicate that your brain receives some sort of trauma. Mm-hmm. So that trauma is in the form of exertional force applied from outside of the body to either the head or the body. And that's another misconception, is that often we think that you have to be hit in the head to have a concussion, and that's not true, because our head is connected to our body. And if you go back to your physics courses and think, you know, it all flows throughout the body.
Right.
So there's enough force that's applied directly to the head or to the body that results in some alteration of mental status. So what that is confusion or feeling disoriented. Sometimes people say seeing stars is often a classic term that people use. And then from that point, there's often a kind of cascade of neurochemical changes that occur in the brain that result in the symptoms that present. So the tricky thing about concussions is that there's not one specific set of symptoms that occur. Every person, and I think Nada could agree with this, every person that we've seen that's been diagnosed with a concussion presents in a different way. So typically, you know, we'll see headache, maybe some dizziness, maybe some vision changes, but that's not a requirement. Mm-hmm. And like we talked about before, these symptoms present in many different domains of functioning. And so just as many different combinations as you could see, you'll see it.
We often say if you've seen one concussion, you have seen one concussion. Because
mm-hmm.
one case is not like the other at all.
Right.
Very unique.
So not every patient is going to have to go through all of the other programs that you mentioned before. And they all don't need all those things. It's just some might just need physical therapy.
Correct. Yeah.
Some need all of them.
Treatment is very tailored to the symptoms that you're having. So the good thing is we have all these great clinicians that can treat you. And if you need, but if you don't, then you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, we can be very specific to the symptoms that you're presenting with. But there is a huge net of support mm-hmm. in case you're having a lot of these symptoms. Mm-hmm. And because it's such a variety of symptoms, you can have, you know, you can need a couple of people for this one, and then the next patient can need a totally different group of clinicians to really take care of them.
Have you guys seen, since like I said before with the Will Smith movie and stuff like that, has that kind of changed people's mindset of what it is, and kind of has it been beneficial or negative, like to inform people that they're more aware of it, or has it been?
Yeah,
I think it had some pros and cons, and I'll let Dr. Leahy talk a little bit too, because she did do a little panel in relation to the movie. But I think on the good side, it brought attention to what a concussion is and how you should report when you do feel like you have suffered a concussion and that you do need to step back and say, okay, let me have somebody look at me and make sure that everything is okay before I go back to play sports. On the negative side of things, it created this hype on CTE, right? So the chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And so we had a lot of people now that think that just because they've had a concussion that they're going to have CTE.
Right.
And that's absolutely not the case. And there's a lot of education that needs to come with that too. So the movie was good to bring attention to the issue, but there's so much education that needs to come with that, that mm-hmm. obviously you cannot put all that in the movie. It needs to be, that's not the goal of the movie, right?
Was the movie specifically about football?
It was.
Okay,
yeah, it happened within the NFL.
Okay.
So it's very specific to football. It was very controversial with how things were handled and all that. But we have parents that will call us and ask us to diagnose their kids over CTE or not, and that's not something you can do when you're alive. You know, you have to look at the brain to have a diagnosis. So we usually don't do that. We keep our patients alive. We like our patients alive.
I put it on the table. I say, you know, I can diagnose it if you want, but we're gonna have to cut off your head.
So there's a lot of just education that obviously didn't come with the movie that needs to also be out there. So that's one of our jobs, is to make sure that we are disseminating information and in helping everybody understand what is a concussion and how to take care of it, but also what the prognosis is and what, you know, that most likely you're going to be just fine.
Sure.
You know, and there's a team here that will help you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. One of my biggest beefs with the movie is that it should be called CTE and not concussion.
Right.
Because the fact of the matter is, absolutely, I think it's impossible to deny that repeatedly banging your head or getting struck hard enough in your head where you're having altered neurological functioning probably is not a good thing.
Right.
There's plenty of people out there, and we don't know just because of how scientific studies are designed, but we don't know of all of those players that have been hit in the head repeated times, why some present this way and others don't, and others are perfectly healthy and live full productive lives and die of old age very healthy. There's a lot of work to be done, but it's a starting point. And I think the culture that surrounds professional football or really sports in general, but especially professional football, is pretty tricky because there's a lot of money in it, and there's a lot of just history and culture tied in with that.
So I think, you know, it's funny how each sport is so different, because, you know, you have the velocity of the NFL, of like those guys weighing what they weigh and running into each other. And then you have soccer with the, you know, they don't get kicked in the head as much as the ball hits them in the head, right? And then you have like UFC, where they're getting punched in the head constantly.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of storyline, like I hear Joe Rogan talking about on his podcast about how, you know, he talks a lot of these UFC guys and they're not well later in life, like the ones that have retired, and they wear no protection on their head. And boxing is, and the best ones, like I think like Floyd Mayweather is the best because he's the best defender. He doesn't get hit very much. You know, and there's a lot of people that say, I don't know if they say that like Muhammad Ali, because he got hit in the head and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know if there's proof of that, but it makes you wonder, you know, like why do some guys get hit in the jaw just the right way and they go right down? And then other guys just get repeatedly hit throughout 10 rounds in a match, you know, so it can't be good to be getting hit in the head.
No, especially, you know, especially with the UFC, and the sole goal is to cause concussion in that, right?
Yeah.
That's how you win
you
the game.
You need to fall down and not get up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's interesting. And like I said, I'm excited to see, you know, what comes of it. And also with some new developments with biotech and functional neuroimaging and just better ability to correlate some of those what have historically been used for research with some clinical coordinates is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, because like you said, there's so much money tied into these. They're not just going to be like, guys, this isn't good for humanity. We're going to stop the UFC now.
No.
You know, or
a lot of people won't be happy.
Yeah.
But we're also working towards being able to participate state and being some of the people that answer some of these questions. So we're really building our program to position ourselves in a way that we can start answering some research questions and contribute to the body of knowledge in relationship to concussion. So this good structure that we have will help us achieve that goal.
Yeah, and then you guys said before, it's just about, it's not just head hits, it's body hits and everything mm-hmm. too. I mean,
yeah, and to that end, the NFL every year puts forth new rules, if you will, and regulations to try to limit the actual outcome of a concussion. So, you know, there's certain drills, certain types of hit, like lowering the head, you know, was recently banned. So every year there's new regulations coming out with the sole goal of decreasing the rates of concussion on the front end, but then also as far as the amount of spotters or reviewers that are at every single practice and game that are independent, not necessarily tied with the team or the NFL, but completely third-party reviewers of signs or symptoms that might look like a concussion and removing that player from play.
Right.
So, you know, we're getting there.
And that's a place that has a lot of structure and support, but, you know, if you think about your day-to-day people have concussions from car accidents, right. From falling, from somebody kicking them in the head in the pool, or from falling from a horse. I mean, we see all kinds of
that's the stuff that scares me in life.
It's so like there's no spotters for like, that. There's
someone
no
tears
rules
their Achilles because they rolled
you know?
Their ankle falling off of a curb and, you know, those kind of things.
So that's where education comes in and really making sure that the general population understands that at least recognize there's something wrong and where to go to get help.
And not to pick on football too much, but like I'm guessing obviously the helmet does help, but it's still, I mean, it helps more than not having a helmet on, I would imagine.
It helps you when it comes to a cranial fracture.
Okay.
But
not the impact because the brain
at all.
Shaking in the head.
Yeah, the brain is kind of loose inside of your skull,
that's
right?
True,
so having that,
I didn't think about it that
as
way.
Much as the helmet manufacturers would like to claim that there's something in there for it. And every year they try. They try to make something that would maybe decrease the risk or, you know, they try really hard, but it's not something that right now we don't have any equipment that does that.
Right.
It will keep you from, you know, fracturing your skull, but
it
won't necessarily
sense.
Keep you from having
I didn't think about it that way because that's the concussion is the brain and moving
exactly.
the head and hitting
about,
your skull.
Yeah, think about an egg and an egg carton, right? Mm-hmm. So the carton helps keep your egg from breaking when you drop your grocery bag, but that egg yolk is still sloshing around inside the eggshell.
Yeah.
And so the egg yolk is our
so
brain.
So does your brain.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's right. And then there's still sports like even like rugby that don't wear anything.
Well, and I actually think that don't, you know, hold me to this, but I think that if we actually made the helmets less of a factor, we might have a reduction.
Because they don't feel like they have a suit of armor on that they can just bash into anything with.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, probably will never happen.
Yeah.
It'd be a rather boring, I'm using air quotes, boring game.
Yeah. But maybe you just have more like broken collarbones and things like that.
Orthopedic injuries. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does a typical recovery look like for someone that has a concussion?
A typical recovery from a concussion is it's time limited and people have a full recovery back to their baseline level of functioning. So we think about usually within the first few weeks, say 3 weeks, full symptom resolution. So all the symptoms that presented after the injury have resolved and the person is, you know, along the merry way. In a handful of individuals, usually less than studies show anywhere from 10 to 15%, have what we call protracted recovery, meaning they have symptoms that persist outside of that general 1 month window and can persist to 3 months, 6 months, even
or longer.
Yeah, even longer. So when we think about the actual mechanism of injury and what happens, it doesn't matter if it's a sports-related injury, you're walking down the street and you fall off a horse, you name it. It doesn't matter that specific mechanism of injury, but what matters is the neurochemical and the neurobiological changes that occur as a result of that mechanism of injury are time-limited, and they typically last, at least what we're able to demonstrate, about at the longest a week per se. After that time, the symptoms can still persist though. When the symptoms persist outside of the typical recovery time window, so that 1 to 3 months, there's often other factors at play. So we think about possibly some pre-existing factors related to that individual. So do they have a history of depression or anxiety? Are they what we call catastrophizers? I think we all know people like that, that, you know, one negative thing can mean the end of the world and it's never going to get better and we're all doomed. Or if they have a history of learning difficulty or learning disability. Also, age is a factor, and sometimes even gender can be a factor for those adolescents as well. The one part that's difficult is that some studies demonstrate certain areas to be risk factors while other studies don't. And a lot of that just speaks to some of the methodological issues with concussion research right now. But just like with, you know, what we're talking about with the NFL, it's getting better. And I think there's more standards of care and research in place so that we can compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges with regard to that.
Yeah, you got to remember that there's not a structural damage to the brain when you have a concussion. That's why you don't see a positive test on MRIs and CT scans and things like that. So all that chemical imbalance, your body works really hard to reestablish that homeostasis, that, you know, neutral point of what is normal to your body. Mm-hmm. So that's why after a few weeks, vast majority of people are back to normal. So that there's something else, you know, besides what that initial cascade of events is that would make somebody have those prolonged symptoms. And that's still what we, you know, everybody's still studying that. We can't exactly pinpoint that. And when you deal with the people, that's what happens. A lot of times we're so different from each other, and concussions present so differently. And that makes it a little bit harder to pinpoint. But we there are some known factors of the things that Dr. Leahy was talking about that we know would potentially cause you to have that prolonged recovery. But again, vast majority of people, even if you have had symptoms for a long time, there's still a big chance that you can recover.
Sure. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to do this. If anybody inside of Brooks or outside of Brooks is interested in getting in contact with you guys to get more information or to become a patient, where should they go?
They can go to our website, brooksrehab.org, and we do have a space in there for our concussion program where you can look at some information and email us as well as brooksconcussion@brooksrehab.org.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.